live from Liverpool. We don't need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Hello, you wonderful listeners of the show. This is, of course, We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts, which is a little extra podcast we're putting out during these lockdown times. So everyone has a chance, if they need to do it, to listen to some regular, friendly, recognisable voices that aren't going to mention the naughty C word. But in case anyone needs is listening to this for the first time and thinks, that wasn't about ghosts, the weekend shows, generally, will be all about ghosts. And you'll tell what these different episodes are, because they're titled, We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts. I appreciate that this one's coming out on a Saturday, but the reason for that is we had a bit of a technical issue. So I basically recorded a Patreon podcast with real life ghost stories for their Patreon, and which we'll go on about in a bit. And long story short, I then couldn't get me recording software to sync up to my laptop after I changed some settings so I could do a Zoom session with them. But now I've sorted it out. So you're having this as a little extra one on a Saturday. Tomorrow will be the standard show where we talk nothing, we don't talk about anything but ghosts. So that comment out of the way, I'm of course with the lovely Becca.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm well too. I thought we'd discuss a few things on this show.
Okay.
Firstly, I had an idea and you said you were a bit about it, but then you said, yeah, all right. And that idea is, because we've got a little bit of creative license with these extra shows that we're doing, because they're not about the topic of ghosts, and as anyone who's listened to them will realise, we're just going all over the shop a bit, really, in between ghost podcasts, to keep us entertained and to keep you entertained as well. And what we thought we'd try is probably next week, one of the We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts, we're going to try to write a sketch show.
Oh, right, yeah, that was it.
Yeah, I'm going to try and do some audio comedy with some sketch show characters that I'm going to write. It may be bloody awful.
It probably... See, my reservations about this are because you've tried to write a show before, a comedy show, and that was rubbish.
It wasn't rubbish, it just wasn't very good.
It was pretty rubbish.
Which one are you talking about?
That one with, like, Robbo or whatever you'd named him.
That was dead good, that.
Oh, it wasn't.
It was about that.
It wasn't even a bit funny.
That was a sitcom about people doing community service, and it was really funny.
Was it though?
No, but the premise was dead good. So
I've
wrote down some ideas for the characters that will be within this sketch show. Right? You don't know any of these, so you're hearing these for the first time.
Okay.
So you can give me your honest opinion.
Cringe.
It is cringe, but it's all right. Let's see.
I mean, I admire your confidence to just think like I'm going to write this. It's going to be hilarious. But like,
well, you know, and I'm saying it's going to be hilarious, but
yeah, don't let past experience put you off.
No, but I mean, within a 30 minute extra, and these are only extra episodes. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to hang my hat on these. Our show is a ghost show, a once weekly ghost show, but these are just extra episodes. But do let us know if you think any of these ideas would be interesting, guys. But we are probably going to do a one off sketch show just for a bit of a laugh for us and something different, and hopefully for yous as well. So these are the characters I've currently got down. You ready?
Right, go on.
So first off, well, they're not necessarily characters, they're more like sketches.
Right, can you just do it?
Yes. So, first one is person going in to get a loan from a bank.
Right. Hilarity in shoes.
No, basically, it all looks good, interest rate's fine. The fella says, yeah, you just need to sign there, and you just need to do one thing for us, and it's a murder. And he doesn't really want to do that.
And
well, I've kind of give you the punchline there, so I might not do that one. The second one...
That's so rubbish.
...is gullible man. That's as far as I've got.
well, that got a laugh.
The third one, and I think this would be funny, but it's again spoiling the punchline, but it doesn't matter really, is...
Does it not, though? Surely it does.
No, because this is just one of the scenarios this woman will find herself in. Right. And you can kind of see... have a guess where I pull the inspiration from this. It's about a woman who doesn't have any friends.
I have friends.
No, but anyway, but she gets into scenarios.
I have at least one friend.
I know, and I'm glad to be sat here. No, but she finds herself in scenarios where she implies she's got friends. So, see, it's funny already.
Right.
So, for example, she would be on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, right?
Oh, she's got no one to ring.
So, and then it'll be, she chooses phone a friend. So Chris Tarrant calls her phone a friend. And it goes to a voicemail, which is obviously her trying to do an accent, going like, hi Tracy, no, I'm out with all the rest of your friends. I do hope you're having fun because all your friends miss you deeply. And Chris Tarrant then would be like, that sounds awfully like you on the recording. It's like, nope, not me. I've got so many friends. So that's one.
Right, okay. That's that is quite funny. I'm into that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Then it's about a couple. Another one is about a couple who are having a baby and they want to do a gender reveal party. Nice. But they realise the wife of the two doesn't agree with any of his suggestions for the reveal. So like bursting balloons, mm-hmm. eating a cake. So they keep coming back to more and more stupid things. And in the end, he comes up with something like really ridiculous that no one would ever want. Like, for example, he has to poo out a colour.
Ugh.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know.
Well, that sounds rubbish.
My favourite one that I want to do, and I want to play it out, because I do this every time we do the self-serve in Asda. I want to be an attendant, a cashier at a supermarket.
You've only got one line.
I've got one line, but that's why I love it.
So at the self, because the Asda has like long like conveyor belts, which are also self-service, aren't they? You know, so yeah. You can do a bigger shop on them rather than just
and
the
basket. And
they've got
scan and barcode things.
And a scanning thing. And every time, I know exactly what you're going to say. That reminds me.
Yeah, because that's what they do every time we do a shop.
But you've only got one line. So
yeah,
you,
but
yeah,
that's
why Kev has been doing that for months when we do the self-serve. And he says it. But when we've got a big shop, it quickly becomes apparent you've only got one thing to say.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me.
Oh, that reminds me. I must get some of these. That's what every cashier says when we go to the supermarket. Oh, that reminds me. I'll have to get some of these. It's like, fucking hell, have you got anything in your house? Because everything we've put through, you haven't got.
But my point is, on this comedy sketch show, you've only got one line.
Well, I'll tie something else into that. Maybe she ambles about her ongoing divorce.
Right.
And then throws in, ooh, that reminds me.
Okay.
Anyway, I've written down here, complaining man, but I'm not sure what... I should have went into more detail.
Right.
Letting agent. I'm not too sure. I should have put more behind that. These are just
you're
words.
You're just naming people,
these are just
yeah.
words. Overly friendly Uber driver.
Right.
So, and what made me think this? Do you remember, like, in Liverpool, Uber's like, I say it's relatively new, it's been out a couple of years, but some of them go really above and beyond to try and get that good rating. And, like, we got into one once, and he was like, would you like a small bottle of water? And we were like, and he was like, completely free. And then he was like, Haribo? And we were like, no thanks. He was like, you can charge your phone there if you want. I feel like, fucking hell, it's like Airbnb on wheels. You could live here.
Yeah.
So I thought we could get one who just keeps offering more and more. My wife, a night with my wife, hand job. Exactly.
You can't have that.
Well, we'll see. And then a flatmate. Somebody's looking to have a flatmate doing an interview with someone and everything's going well. And they're like, yep, blah, blah, blah. And then you'd be like, oh, okay, and my bedroom, screams, would they penetrate the walls? And the person's like, no. And then they move on to a very basic question, like, okay, and the rates and water included. Can I just go back to the screams bit? Oh, yeah, yeah, no, I'm just asking a question. And basically, it's a serial killer looking for somewhere to stay.
Right, okay.
So there are some good ideas there. There are some things which are just words, like a complaining man. I'm not too sure what that's
man in
about.
Car.
Yeah, letting agent. I'm not too sure.
Okay. I'm into the friends one.
Friends one's good, isn't it?
Because I think that's got potential in a load of scenarios.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can't try to think of others, but, you know, like...
It's like, do you remember that bit in Frasier where he's like, when Niall's letting down, go into the opera or something, he's like, oh, Niall, do you know I hate to go to the opera alone? I have to put a shawl on the chair next to me and glance expectantly at the bathroom all night.
Yeah, 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 exactly, yeah. So, yeah, I think she's got legs, the friendless woman.
Yeah.
The Gullible Man one could be good. Could be good. I remembered what Gullible Man was.
Right.
So Gullible Man is a single man who, like, goes on dates, right? And on these dates, he's like really implying he's got loads of money because he genuinely believes he's got loads of money.
Nice.
And the woman's like, oh, so can I ask where your wealth's come from? And at the end of each one, he'd be like, you're not going to believe, but I got an email from a Nigerian prince. And a week from now, I'm going to have $13 million in my bank account.
Right.
You know, so he's just gullible.
Yeah.
And she'd be like, no, I think I'm going to leave it. And he basically gets conned, but genuinely believes the cons each and every time. and boasts about what he's going to receive.
Mm-hmm.
So that one could be good. It's all in the writing, but I do like the cashier. Oh, that reminds me, I must get some of these. Because it's all they say.
I know, but it's done now. You've got nothing else.
Yeah, but
like,
that's why it's
saying
good.
That, you've
that's
got
why
nothing
it's good.
Else.
That's why it's good.
Okay, but you can't do like 5 minutes of that.
You can, because it'll be one of them where it starts funny, then you think, God, it's going. It's like Alan Partridge when he goes, Dan, Dan, Dan.
I don't think it will.
Dan.
Because that's so funny, Dan. Because it's got, like, because the painful situation is going on for so long and it's getting worse as time goes on. It doesn't just get funnier constantly.
See, but the thing is, even if I'm...
Like garlic bread peaks, doesn't it?
Oh, you know what?
That starts, and then it gets funnier, but then it drops. It will drop eventually, and this will drop eventually.
So Becca's referencing, of course, Peter Kay's stand-up from about over a decade ago.
Yes.
Where he's an
observation... I thought that was obvious, sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm just in case... A lot of Americans listen, don't they?
Yeah.
So Peter Kay's an English stand-up, and he does observational comedy, so it'll be like...
He was huge a few years ago.
Oh, he's still like godlike status in the UK.
Yeah, I know, but it was this sudden explosion, wasn't it?
Which was quite unusual
for a comedian. Like, you didn't really see him, like, work up as such. He just exploded, and suddenly he was selling out, like 5 consecutive nights in arenas.
Like,
when his DVD came out, it was like far and away the amount it sold.
Yeah, he's had number one songs and
every household
songs.
Had a copy of that DVD, didn't they, over Christmas?
Yeah, and his routines, everybody knows his routines by heart now.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he went on sale. We went on sale at the arena with it for sort of like 10 consecutive nights.
Yeah,
and he'd sold out in half a day.
Yeah, they all just
sold out, and like there was
like
still demand. Yeah, that's how big he still is. He's huge. So much so, there was like a charity thing for what's going on BBC the other night, and he'd done a comeback segment on it, and they raised something like 27 million. Not solely because of him, but, you know, largely because of him, people tuned in. So he's absolutely huge, but anyway, one of his iconic sketches during his observational comedy stand-up, he'll say things like, put big light on.
It's
very northern humour, yeah, but it's completely relatable. And back... like 15 years ago, he'd done this routine about garlic bread, where he was like, hey, have you had garlic bread? Garlic bread's the future. Garlic and bread. And like, it was quite relatable at the time.
It being a new thing. It seems so outdated now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because garlic bread's so common. But
it was a relatively new
thing.
It
was basically like trying to introduce your relatives to new food. Like, someone who'd never heard of garlic bread. Like, garlic.
Yeah, bread. Garlic on bread.
Same thing with cheesecake.
Cheese
and cake.
Yeah. But he's actually very funny. He's just got a face that makes you laugh. Anyway, I've got a bit of an anecdote related to garlic bread, and it's one of the best moments of my life for just the cringeworthiness of it. The entire night was amazing. So basically, I put my name down to do stand-up at this stand-up club. And nobody that I know went, which is because I wasn't confident in my material, so I didn't ask anyone to go. But it was a really busy night at this like beginner stand-up club. And... backstage, if you like, I was talking to a few of the acts that were due on. There was about 7 of us going on. And one was this fella. He's the first person of interest. And I was like, this is only the 4th time I've done it. I said, but I've got quite a good reaction each time. And he was like, oh, I'm an old hand at this. He said, I used to do it quite regularly. Like, you know, I got to a level of success. I was like, okay. He went, I fell out with the crowds. He said that none of them were... They weren't educated enough to get my humour, basically.
Ugh.
And I was like, right, you're a tit.
Dick thing to say.
Yeah, and he was like, but, you know, I've tried to dumb it down for people, so I've got like a new routine that I'm going to do. He says, I'm just going to hold it and read it off a piece of paper. He said, because, you know, I'm only testing it out. But other than that, he was strangely likeable, this guy. Anyway, so he gets on, like, third up. The first two are fine, there's a compere on. So he gets up. And he starts reading from this piece of paper. But the awkward thing is, and it's really hard to do this in the world of comedy, I reckon, he's doing a character as stand-up.
Right.
So he's like a normal-looking fella. Then before he went on stage, he like wonkied his glasses, moved his tie to one side, and done this awkward walk up the stage and was like, hello, my name's Fred, and I come from this place. And everyone was like, this is very inauthentic. And then he starts doing these jokes off this sheet. No one laughs because they just can't get into him. And literally like 3/4 of the way through his set, his shoulders just dropped down. He like fixed his glasses, fixed his tie, and went, you just aren't fucking worth it.
Yeah.
And got off the stage and walked through this crowd of people and got off.
Oh my God.
Honestly, and the compere got on and went, well, no one expected that, did they? And he was like, sorry, guys, like we definitely won't be asking him back. And I was like, because I didn't know anyone there, I'm looking around agog for someone who's sharing a similar... Did that just fucking happen? But then, that's not the best part of the story. The best part is, God bless her. this you know, like, I mean, it takes a certain sort of ego or overconfident person, or someone in my case, who I challenge myself and think, you know what, I'm going to do it. And if it's not funny and doesn't work, kind of even better, at least I can say I've had the balls to do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's brave to do something about it.
Like, when I ask people to come to anything I've done comedy-wise, I've said, come, because if it's funny, brilliant. And if it's not, because you know me, it'll be funnier to watch me die. And anyway, the compere goes, so ladies and gentlemen, next up, we've got a housewife up next. He says, now she's in her 50s, and it's only a third time doing stand-up, but, you know... blah, blah, blah. And she gets up and she's like a nice looking, like, you know, late middle-aged woman. And she's like, so the reason I'm doing, and she's, ladies and gentlemen, she's in like a proper, like, yeah, club northern comedian. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason I'm doing stand-up is because the one thing I got sick of was my family and friends saying, you should be on stage. So here I am. And like, she left a pause, like people were meant to cheer, no one cheered. So then she tries a joke, and like an observational Peter Kay type comedy joke. Mm. Like, hey, does anyone else have a dog? Don't you hate it when the dog, like, he'll chew that pillow, but not that pillow. Oh, I don't know. And then she moved on, so that was the joke. And it was like, oh, God, this is going, like, hey, you know when I'm ironing? Don't you hate it when you've got an iron and it's hot? And you iron something, you burn your thumb, and you run it under the tap. Who else runs the thumb under the tap? And nothing, right? And so she knows then, she recognises that she's dying. Yeah. So honest to God, she goes, hey, you know what we love in our house? Garlic bread. Garlic bread. And just tried to say garlic bread in the style of Peter Kay says garlic bread. Yeah. Oh, it's the future. Have you tasted it? Garlic bread. And then she had nowhere else to go, so she literally went, well, you've been lovely anyway, guys. Aww, thank you.
Oh, bless her.
And I was like, this is the best night of comedy I've ever, ever been to.
Oh.
I know, I did feel for her, but... you know, it's weird what goes through people's brain. And I always think about this with musicians as well. It's all well and good. And, you know, if you've got kids out there, guys, in normal land, don't give them false hope. Because this poor woman has been told by her family and friends, hey, you want to go and get on stage?
But maybe she is. But, you know, sometimes people just have a bad night, don't they? You know, for whatever reason, they just don't connect with the audience. And it's bad. I think anyone can have a bad night.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, you see it with musicians more. Like, you know, a proud dad. And it's right to be proud, fair enough. We'll share a video of his, like, 25-year-old son saying, oh, Tom's just wrote this. I think it's great. Top of the pops for him soon. And it's, like, some dickhead going, like, oh, when I voted Labour, I'm a right-wing, left-wing man. Jump down the shop and get my dole check. And you're like, oh my God, why has your dad done this to you? Nice. And you know, and then that poor sod is the sort of sod then that bounces into a creative environment and goes, yeah, well, I'm a quality songwriter too, you know, like, I know what's going on. You're like, stop giving hope to people who don't need hope.
Aww.
That's terrible, isn't
it? That's awful, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I'm not even going to edit that out because I deserve people to tell me off for that. So I apologise. Like, he's looking at me, isn't he?
Yeah, you should definitely edit that out. No, I don't think you should edit that out because it's the real you, isn't it? But I talk about just, like, quashing people's dreams, you know what I mean? You'd go ballistic if I said I wanted to do something and someone said to me, Becky, crap, don't bother.
Yeah, I would. But at the same time, if you wanted to do something, it's going public with it. That's my point. I've got everybody, in my opinion, should try and write music at one point in their life. And it doesn't matter if you think you're any good or not, if you get something out of it. But at the same time, you know, if you transpose it into fighting, let's say like boxing, if we had a kid and a son and he was like, or a daughter, you know, and just Kevin there.
You're patting yourself on the back.
Digging out a hole. And the son says, Dad, I love boxing, I want to give it a go. I go, go on, son, yeah.
Bloody wouldn't.
No, but then if you put on a head guard and went into an official thing, you know, and got battered each and every time, he was like, I love this. I'd be like, it's right, son, you know, you're keeping fit. You're building up some level of character. Well done. But if you got filled in each and every week, I wouldn't put a video of him online and be like, my son there, getting filled in again. He knows how to get filled in, my lad, you know. You'd just be like, support him quietly. Don't give false hope.
I think you've lost your own thread again.
I have, yeah. What you should have done there is stop me about 5 minutes prior. I've ended up with a child that we don't have, and he's boxing. Not only is he boxing, he's losing boxing. He's getting battered. Our mythical child is getting beaten up.
We I said something happened to me the other day, isn't I, that you said should be a sketch, and I didn't really think it would so be a good funny. Sketch. Go on, how would you do that as a sketch?
Right, okay. So Becca, hats off to her, like, she's put her name down for a lot of volunteering stuff. And some of them have started to now take her up on it. There was a bit of a delay, wasn't it? Because they must have had loads of people asking.
Yeah, fine.
So one of these things was, they're basically giving snacks to paramedics, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because they haven't got, the paramedics and ambulance workers haven't got time to take lunch and stuff. So
they've set up like a little table.
Yeah, they've set up a little table.
Remember, you have to keep everything anonymous.
Of course, yeah. So basically, the organiser of this charity said to Becca, would you mind going round to people who've offered donations, collecting the donations, and then dropping them off at this central hub?
This, do you remember we were talking the other day about the aggressive volunteering? When this was that one where I was like, you said you needed delivery drivers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, when
like,
you aggressively helped out.
So it wasn't necessarily that I was asked, it was more that I've insisted.
I wonder how that, I know that you're an atheist anyway, but I wonder if there was like, you know, like the good place where there's a point-based system.
Yeah.
I wonder if your aggression lost you the thing. But,
yeah, so I was going around, wasn't it?
Yeah, so Becca...
To pick up other people's donations to take
to
them.
To take to the hub.
To drop them off.
Yeah. So she Becca turns up at this house, all prearranged. Knocks on the door, no answer. Bucking her talking, slash shouting behind the door. Mm-hmm. So knocks at the door again. A person comes to the door, clearly not dressed, with a towel wrapped around them. And very upset. And she's basically in the middle of a domestic argument with a partner.
So awkward.
And then goes on to say that the food that she bought yesterday to donate has been eaten by her kids. So she can't give anything. But then doesn't just say, so can you come back? Says to Becca, like, what star sign are you? And, like, do you believe
in
fate?
She's asking me, like, what year I was born, what month I was born. Oh, so you must be a Cancerian then. I'm not, but I said yes.
She asked her to come in as well, didn't she?
Yeah, she tries to get me on the house.
All in the buff.
She was like, no, she's literally, like, wearing a towel. A fella was there. They carry on this domestic when the door's open, and he's going, she's beating us off, now they're telling me, now I'm involved in this, and he's going, she's being scammed, this Nigerian fella, she's sending him money, right, she's an idiot, and she's going, I'm not an idiot, you can tell, can't you, Becca, that I'm not an idiot. I'm like, why am I involved in this? And he's answering, she's being scammed, she's got kids up there, I don't know what she's thinking, and it was, oh God, it was awkward. Becca, do you believe in God? Like, oh my God, what's the right answer to this? What is the right, which is the least dangerous answer to this? I said, I don't know. So I just did that hand shaky thing, you know, when you don't know, like, either way kind of thing. And it just went on, so and I was literally like, so is there anything you wanted me to take? Or, and you know what he said, he'd be out if it wasn't for this, all this going on, I'd have him out, but you know, you can't at the minute, can you? And she's going, at one point she's going, well, it's a stressful time for everyone, isn't it? So anyway, a bit later she goes, I'd have him out, I'm telling you, you know, he's done the second this is over. And I said, well, it's a stressful time for everyone, isn't it? Repeating what she just said earlier. Well, I said that the first time. I said that the first three times, but now I've had enough. And, oh my God, like, why can't I just, and I'd literally go, so was there anything you wanted me to take, or shall I just, and oh God, it was just so awkward, so uncomfortable.
See, I couldn't do it, I just couldn't do it. I mean, and yesterday's little, you've done, like, there was one, like, completely, you were like, that was good, that felt like volunteering, where you went and packed some...
Yeah, food hampers going to families who need them. So we packed like 150 food hampers for people.
Yeah. That was good.
Yeah, that's a charity that, like, we've known about for a while, haven't we? Yeah. Like, you just helped them out with work and that.
But yesterday's one was door-to-door postings.
Yeah, I forgot how hell it is going door-to-door. So I volunteered for this, like, this Liverpool charity, and this was getting the flyers out for the charity so that people know about it, which, again, I volunteered to do, and they said, is it, like, could anyone do this to get word out? I forgot how grim it is going door-to-door. It's just horrible, isn't it?
What was that? It always tickles me. In like
I don't want one of them, love. Like, okay, you're right, sorry. Okay,
yeah, exactly, yeah. But what was the one you said that, because you were then talking about when, we were talking about it yesterday, wasn't we? And you were saying about being...
I've done door-to-door before.
You've done door-to-door for selling mobile phones, but you've also, on your paper round, you ran into a paedophile.
Oh, God, yeah. So I had this paper round, I was about 14, and decided, I'm going to get the paper round. Hell, on an absolute hell, in this dodgy area of St. Helens. So one of them, I was trying... Some people have really annoyingly small letterboxes, right? Yeah. So I was, like, trying to get this paper, like, ramming it in. This fella comes out. As I said to Kev, the only time in real life I've ever actually seen someone wearing a string vest.
Yeah.
Comes out. He takes it off me, folds it up dead tight, and, like, rams it through the letterbox for me. So he's done me a favour now. You know what I mean? Like, he's helped. To next door.
Oh, I was going to say, he's put his own letterbox. That's lunacy.
Yeah. Helps you out with next doors. So that's it now. You know, he's done me a favour then. What happened to other bird who done it? Like, oh, I don't know. I don't... She used coming for a brew. Oh, did she? Did she? Okay, like 14. Absolutely.
Yeah, rubbing his thigh, isn't it?
Yeah, like rubbing his chest. Oh,
do you want sugar? I'm going to stir it with my knob.
Oh, and the mobile phone one was worse because they deliberately dropped it in like dodgy areas because
that's where you
they were the only people who were going to go with this terrible, terrible deal trying to sell.
Because they're going to give you black addresses and all.
Oh, it was awful, yeah. And so I was like, with this guy, he was like training me, very commas around the training. And we go round, and this one fella answered the door topless. And his kids and his missus were in the living room, and he shut the living room door into the hall, like, so it was just us. And he was acting interested, so I'm giving him the full spiel. This price, this handset, blah, blah, blah. And he starts rubbing himself, like, his chest.
Jesus.
And I'm going on with this spiel. And the fella who was with me, instead of, like, doing it, just going around the corner to laugh. And just left me to it. And, like, he just thought it was hilarious. He come back and he was, like, crying laughing when we got away from that house. And he was like, and he was just rubbing himself as you were talking.
There was
I was like, why did you leave me, you dick? And he was like, funny, isn't it?
When we were kids, there was a chance that we encountered a child lover. Which was, that's a polite way of putting it.
Yeah.
But we basically, there was not many computers when I was a kid. So, like, kids just used to go out. As I'm sure many of you used to yourselves, you just used to play outside.
Yeah.
God forbid.
Just for hours and hours and
hours. Yeah. To entertain ourselves, we decided one day that me and these, like, five other lads, what we'd do is we would knock at a house. One of us would knock at a house. The other four would hide behind the wall of the house at the front garden. I'd knock, and it doesn't actually make sense, this joke, right, when you think about it. We knock, and when the person would answer the door, I'd say, like, is John ready for the party? And the other four would jump up from behind the wall and go, surprise! Which, actually, thinking about it, doesn't make any sense, because we're asking them to come with us to a party, so why are they jumping up and shouting surprise?
Yeah.
But we went round from house to house doing this, for our own entertainment, to see what the people's reaction would be. 9 times out of 10, it was like, oh, sorry, you've got the wrong address, love, because they were like, could see we're clearly geared up to go to a party, age 13.
What, you actually dressed up for the prank as well?
No, we were just, like, dressed in what a 13-year-old wears.
Right.
You know, clown shoes. No, anyway, but this one house in Highton, the lads all lit behind the wall, I went up and knocked and went, is Mark ready for the party? And this fella in his pyjamas, and we're talking about, like, 6 in the afternoon, but they all jump up, surprise! And he goes, oh! And he goes, really sorry, boys, there's no party here. But if you want to all come in, I'm sure that we can do you some cakes and stuff.
Oh!
And we were like, took aback because we all.
Bet you were?
Our thing was normally, oh, really? He doesn't live here? Oh, so sorry. And we'd walk up and go, there wasn't even a party. but this time I looked at the lads, and I think one of the lads was like, should we? And I was like, should we fuck? Run away. I'll make you some cakes.
I got in trouble as a kid for the going door to door because I was out playing out, as you did, and it was Halloween. So for some reason, it just hadn't been acknowledged in our house at all. It was Halloween. So all the other kids were like dressed up and that, doing trick or treating. And I just got out to play. I don't know why we were the only people oblivious to the fact it was Halloween.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just went out like normally. So I'm like with them, and I was a bit hesitant to do it because I thought I might get in trouble. But eventually, I was persuaded into it. So one of them gives me a bin bag.
Doing trick or treat.
Yeah,
right.
One of them gives me a bin bag, and I get like a head, tail, arms in. So I'm just wearing a bin bag. That's all there is to it. But I go with them. So I'm like, there's, you know, just like a group of kids, about 8 or so.
Yeah.
So I go in doing trick or treats around, and then my mum spots me, and my instincts were right, and I was in a lot of trouble doing trick or treat. She hit the roof, she went ballistic. But now looking back, the reasoning for it, there's holes in this argument.
Right. So just like there was in the bin bag for your arms.
Yeah. So she's like, no, you trick or treat without telling. Like, she's absolutely going ballistic. And then she's saying, you know what, they'll open the door, they'll see you all stood there, and they'll just grab one of you and in the house of you, and you'll never be seen again. Now, all in the stuff. We were doing it in the close that we lived.
Right.
The person lives there. What do you mean yeah. they'll never be seen again? Like, go to their house.
And like the other five kids are going to go, let's never speak of this incident again.
Like, talk about, like, you know where they live. You literally know where this person yeah. lives. They can't grab you and get away with it.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
like go and get me. I'd be in that house. Yeah. That's exactly. And do you mean never seen again? Like,
and your mother being dead weird, like, when she'd be looking out and knocking. Like, kids are saying to her, Becky's just been taken in by that house there. And she knocks and goes, no, I don't know what they're on about.
Yeah, like, you never seen again, as if this person would just, like, disappear. That's the thing. It was on our street, like, literally on our street.
And then...
they can't just go somewhere.
And then your mum gets doubly suspicious when they invite her around for a barbecue. And they're like, there's been no meat in this area for ages.
No meat in this area. Yeah, that's the thing.
Because that happens. Probably did happen in St. Helens, I don't know.
Yeah. But, yeah, door-to-door stuff is just grim, isn't it? Like, really, really dodgy.
It is very grim.
The suspicion that people look at you as well, like... It's a charity and volunteering. I'm not trying to sell you something. Like, it was...
Yeah.
And I think eyeing you up as you come up.
When you told me this part, it must have made me half fell a little. I thought, oh, that's not good. Because you said after putting, like, 100 through doors. So, through
yeah.
doors.
Yeah.
Not just willy-nilly thrown in a garden.
Yeah, yeah. All through
into doors. A house. Mm. On your way back to ours, you see one in the street.
Yeah, on the floor. That was a bit disheartening.
So, someone's literally took the bother to grab it from their hall, yeah. open the front door, walk out and just drop it in the
yeah.
street.
Yeah, that was disheartening, to be honest, yeah.
So we're about to just record the Patreon extra episode that is going out to accompany these ones, where we're going to discuss me going on Real Life Ghost Stories podcast and offers of cursed objects that they're throwing my way and you declining me to have them. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
So
sorry, I've just been distracted by this. My dad's just messaged. He sent the family group chat a video of him taking my brother out to the park. So, like... looking at the ducks and that, and as he sent the video, his wife has come back and said, which part of don't let him touch anything is this? Because he's like all along the railings
really?
And that, like, oh, holding stuff. So my dad's just completely blowing himself up.
Oh, Steve.
And then my dad's just thought, oops. She said, honestly, you are a great one, Muppets.
Right, so if you wish to hear Becca's reasonings why I can't receive cursed items, then you'll have to go and join up the Patreon. Go to www.patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. Bless you. Anyway, guys, we'll be back tomorrow for the standard episode where we will indeed talk about ghosts. But in the meantime, for the next 24 hours at least, take care of yourselves and look after each other.
See you later, guys.
See you later. Tatty bye. I forgot to say tatty bye. That's my sign off, don't you know? I'll say it now. Tatty bye. You can say something too.
Bye.
Tea tatty bye.
No, that's your sign off.
All right then. Tatty bye.